Tape number 404, side two, dated August the 31st, 1979, in Brussels in Carmel, California. The war was over in 1945 and then began this massive buildup to the point that we're at today. A few facts or figures on what happened on the continent of Europe does not really explain the situation completely, because we separate the blood and the pain from the numbers. 50 million, 56 million perished in Europe and Asia. Another 80 million were displaced or injured or separated from their families. 20 million Soviet citizens died in that war, 20 million, and they held the battle at Stalingrad. They held it strong, and they won what they felt was a rightful war against the hatred that the Nazis and fascists had. And one Russian writer, Yuri Bondarev, wrote in the New York Times, it was in 1974, that the Germans came with hatred towards our country, with arms to our country from fascist Germany to destroy our state and our nation. And the nation pulled its human feelings, their call for home and mother and school and their emotions or love of Russia together, and held up against this. This Vaslov, who left Russia at the time that the Tsars came in and formed the Vaslov Army, Lieutenant General Andrei Vaslov, was again fighting the Soviet Union and helping with arms against the war, World War II. He was later taken by the authorities and executed in 1946. The Soviet authorities got Lieutenant General Andrei Vaslov, the head of the Vaslov Army that had been arming since an early time, to take over Russia for the Nazis, and he was executed in 1946. The chronology of 45 and 46 with the Howard Hughes industry was important too, because of what happens to Howard Hughes. He had already begun making contracts for the military during the war. Howard was making huge contracts. He started building his satellites for intelligence purposes in 1949 and manufacturing them for the CIA. By 43, he had gotten $70 million in government contracts. And Mr. Danner, who began working for Howard Hughes soon for Intertel, for the Hughes Corporation, was in Florida as a campaign manager for George Smathers. That was the year that Smathers, in 1946, was to go to the House of Representatives from Florida, that Richard Nixon would go from California, and then Richard Nixon would meet B.B. Rebozo, a friend of Martha Mitchell, who later would marry John Mitchell. They would go, Richard Nixon, to Congress from California, and then Smathers would take him to Florida, where the long association with B.B. Rebozo began. Carl Boyer, public relations firm, in 1947, began to take over the Howard Hughes empire, and that was the empire that had the Nazi connections. Boyer represented the Nazis as public relations firm, and under the guise of the Hughes empire, this large military Nazi compound was developing, and as I say, getting ready for the wars in Asia and soon in the Middle East. From 1945 to 1959, the presidents of the United States, Truman and Eisenhower, were totally controlled by John Foster Dulles and Allen Dulles. John Foster Dulles had a home next door to Charles Lindbergh at Long Island. Allen Dulles was working with the Nazis in Europe since the date that they lost in Stalingrad, and the arrangement to bring the Nazis was taking over, and these two men were perfectly suited to do it. One, to head the CIA. Truman disbanded, dissolved the OSS October the 1st, 1945, And then in 1947 is the National Security Act, where we formulated this whole new body that would be arranging what they term national security, but which has really been the strangulation of this country. 1946 was when the wire services king, James Reagan, was murdered in Chicago. This is a can of worms that involved friends of Jack Ruby's in 46 and the Annenbergs and the ascendancy of the control over the wire services for organized crime. Admiral Byrd led a naval research team expedition down to Antarctica, where Adolf Hitler had already been there 1 year, and the last records of Admiral Byrd are locked up and were never seen in the National Archives. What he saw on that last trip has never yet been divulged. In 46, it seems that the aerospace industry and the military had escalated various people into very strategic roles into the House of Representatives, and they are still, some of them still hanging in there today, that would vote 1 year later for the National Security Council. It was important in those years to get those selected candidates into office, because then they in turn, as I say, would vote for the national security. Hale Boggs from the Warren Commission, he later was on the commission that covered up the murder of John Kennedy, was voted in 1946. Senator Russell, who was on the Warren Commission, was brought in 1946. Gerald Ford was brought to Congress in 1946. Ford and Boggs and Russell were on the Warren Commission. George Smathers, who was from Florida, close friend of Richard Nixon's and the, as I say, the Rebozo gang down there, went into Congress in 1946 from Florida, and Richard Nixon went in 1946. Now, I haven't studied the total biography of the various people and their voting records, and somebody might look that up or do a research project if you have time and want to supply it for me, but it's interesting that Nixon, who was in Dallas the day Kennedy was killed and has been linked with those assassination teams and was the director for the Bay of Pigs operation and knew all of these operatives intimately, and Gerald Ford and Smathers, Russell, all members of the Warren Commission, Boggs, Russell, and Ford, Smathers, not on the Warren Commission, but a close friend of this gang, all came in 1946, and because that was such an important year for having men elected to Congress because they're to vote on the National Security Act, I wonder how many were handpicked for the express purpose of later being able to control the Congress and the military. General Patton at that time was dreaming of rearming a couple of what he called the Waffen SS divisions and incorporate them into the U.S. Army and lead them against the Reds. Later it came out that he was possibly murdered because he had information or was carrying gold out of Germany that belonged to the Nazis. So 46 was a terribly important year. The National Security Council was formed and became law in 1947. It took over all war-making decisions, literally from Congress. In other words, they advised the president on what is best for national security, and Congress then could begin to take orders instead of becoming fully informed themselves. They can be given disinformation, and the National Security Council had a 40 committee of dirty tricks. It actually was just a handful of people. They called it the 40 committee, a deception to make it look like it was a very broad discussion group, a handful of five people that could decide on assassination teams. And then behind the Marshall Plan was the same supposedly altruistic front, was the beginning of arming and funding for fascism around the world. After the youth organization began to escalate in the aerospace contracts, General Harold George, wartime air transport command, became the head of the Hughes aircraft, Hughes Electronic, after World War II. He was out with the Hughes aircraft, and then Howard Hughes had a near fatal plane crash in 1946, just when all the aerospace contracts came to him. And Dr. Vern Mason came over and took care of him, and he recovered from the crash. It was almost fatal, but from that time on, there was suggestion that he had been drugged or under the control of various people who were later going to try to declare him incompetent and form the medical center a few years later, the Hughes Medical Center. Senator Joe McCarthy was in office in 1946, and he was to begin the Red Scare in the United States, a la Adolf Hitler, Shades of Hitler, with the Red List, the blacklisting in Hollywood, the scares in the State Department, and throughout the United States. McCarthy also was part of the 1946 Club. In 1946, there began to be a school for international business set in Glendale, Arizona, on an abandoned airfield set by Lieutenant General Barton Kyle Young. It was founded in 1946 for the express purpose of training Americans properly, in quotes, properly for overseas assignments. It was the American Institute for Foreign Trade. That's what the school was started and titled by, the American Institute for Foreign Trade. 8,000 graduates from 56 countries, and the enrollment was spread out of 87 people, and they were disseminated. The purpose of the school was to keep ahead of the times, which means kill labor, kill organizers, or democracies, get the fascism in. That was the purpose, to keep ahead of the times in terms of international economic situations and foreign relations. This preceded the Council of Foreign Relations. The tuition was $5,500, paid by corporations, sometimes by companies. And then these people were sent back to their various countries to work for the corporate interests in these countries, and the managers were sent from the United States. So instead of hiring natives, there was a time down in Panama where people working, Panamanians there, made 40 cents a day, and the Americans doing the identical job would come home with $5 a day. The purpose was for the corporations to be run by natives from their own hometowns or countries that were sent to the United States and were trained. Instead of having the bulks of natives, the management was trained by the corporations and then sent back there. This was in Glendale, Arizona in 1946, and the goal was to keep ahead of the economic situations there. It was founded by Lieutenant General Kyle, commander of the Air Corps during World War II. From 1946 to 1971, the United States spent $149 trillion in loans and grants to military dictatorships all over the world. $1 1/3 trillion since 1946 on military machines that were used for the whims of the generals. And after World War II, Alan Dulles wanted to give the French in Vietnam nuclear weapons. And after Stalin died, this was his chance, Alan Dulles said, to crowd the enemy and maybe finish him off once and for all. And General MacArthur was going to want to use atomic weapons over in that area in Southeast Asia, and that's when President Truman brought him home. He wanted sanctions for atomic war to wipe out Russia in 1946. In 1946, Kansas City became the training center for Saudi Arabian Airlines, and that's where TWA began training Arab pilots and getting their indoctrination into the American mechanics of the aircraft, arming the Middle East, which was totally Nazi and remained Nazi after World War II, and they could start getting their training in Kansas City. That started right after the war in 1946, and it was in 1946 when General Patton was killed in an automobile accident. As I say, there were allegations that he knew of hoards of German gold or had German gold with him, and he had to be killed as he was taking it out of Germany. The campaigns for Congress of Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford, of course, were anti-communist campaigns. 1947 was the year that Richard Nixon, a member of the House Committee on Un-American Activities, bailed out Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby was in some kind of a jam or fix, and he was working for Richard Nixon at that time, and I imagine looking back that it had something to do with the Reagan murder or the Annenberg situation, and Ruby was in trouble, and so were Nixon's friends, and Richard Nixon, as a member of the House Committee on Un-American Activities, had bailed out Jack Ruby. In 1947, Paraguay was taken over by General Alfred Stroessner, written up in the book The State of Siege, another Nazi dictator. And in 1947, at Annapolis, there was L. Patrick Gray, who went from Annapolis to National Security Council, to working with Richard Nixon's team and the CIA through from the time he was out through the hierarchies of the government. And when J. Edgar Hoover was murdered in May of 72, L. Patrick Gray was acting director of the FBI at the time of Watergate. He was caught deep-sixing valuable evidence at a criminal trial when people had been arrested, and I'd published articles that Gray had been destroying evidence of crimes right up to the point where they were considering his appointment, involving ITT collusion and criminal behavior, and also riots in California that the Reichstag had set up at the Isla Vista. They were called the Isla Vista riots, University of California in Santa Barbara. Gray had put the lid on counterintelligence activities in the Los Angeles Western section, and he had moved himself up from Annapolis. Also, the class of 47 was Stanfield Turner, now director of the CIA, a roommate in college of William Webster, who's director of the FBI, and Jimmy Carter, the atomic expert from Annapolis, who then went on to become president of the United States. So the Congress was stacked. I just mentioned a few people from the Warren Commission who came in 46 and voted for the National Security Council in 47. And Annapolis was stacked with a group that were going to converge historically later that were located in those places at the time. In 47, John Stennis went on to the Senate through the House Armed Services Committee, where he held important jobs. And then, of course, there was the Red Scare with Alger Hiss and Whitaker Chambers, who worked for Henry Luce and Time magazine. And Alger Hiss was to bring down the Dumbarton Oaks Conference, the United Nations, the peace agreements, because he was included in all of them, and the Carnegie Foundation. They were manipulating him around, Alan Dulles was, and giving him key jobs so that they could pull the rug under. And the German that he had met years earlier, Whitaker Chambers, had used an alias and another name, and the thing that brought Alger Hiss down in the height of the Red Scare, that made Richard Nixon's ascendancy go up as a great commie fighter, was the Henry Luce Whitaker Chambers person. And Whitaker Chambers had links to George Demorenschild, if these three tapes aren't confusing you sufficiently. Demorenschild and Whitaker Chambers knew and worked together, and also people from Hughes Aircraft with Whitaker Chambers. And Demorenschild, again, goes back to the Auchincloss family and Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy Onassis' family and the Nazi Galen operations. I'm just giving you some rundowns of important dates and people pretty fast, and I just hope it's not going too fast for you and that it's making some sense, but these names interweave, and I'm trying to show you some of the names that have gone in and out like a ballet through the past years. The National Security Council, after it was formed, took over from, as I say, from the Congress, major decisions, and has been a divided chapter of American history ever since it was formed. And of course, then we got Germans like Henry Kissinger and Polish czarists like Mr. Brzezinski to direct the Americans on what's good for us as our country gets depleted economically, socially, psychologically, with their assassination teams and corruption of the economy and manipulation of us, so that we're totally bankrupt and the only thing going is gold, and the American dollar sinks down, and America will be about where they wanted us in 1934 with the plot to seize the White House. In 1947 in Tacoma, Washington, was the first mention of something that was being built by the Nazis for 20 years, which was UFO planes before the war was over, and they had taken the UFOs down to the Antarctica to continue building with the American military machine. And one of the first men to talk about UFOs was in Tacoma, Washington, a man named Fred Chrisman. He also used an alias by the name of Gold, and many people believe it's Fred Chrisman's picture that is with the tramps in Dealey Plaza. He worked with Clay, Shaw, and Permandex, and he surfaced in Tacoma, Washington, and said that the UFO men in black had visited him. And if you follow my tapes on Alternative 3 or the last few, I've mentioned a book that's available on the men in black. And it's interesting that a man from the Defense Intelligence Agency and the CIA, Fred Chrisman, should be one of the first American figures to speak of visiting the UFOs and the men in black. And that was up in Tacoma, Washington, in 1947. In 1947, the United States government started breaking characters of American citizens into various codes. They classified them and graded them. It was called the SPN program, the Separation Program Number. And it was a coding. They had 530 grades that began. It started with veterans of the war, and this is the continuation of the Interpol figures that could be in the Mormon databanks on us today. It was started right after the war when this National Security Council was secure. Veterans, they marked whether they were disloyal or subversive. If they received anti-war literature in the mail, and there were 530 code listings to separate people that would go into the Defense Department and later can be fed into the computers. And they were distributed to every large corporation in America, how veterans or people who were in the war were being coded and graded. And they were tagged marginal, producer, unsuitable, apathy, defensive attitudes, unsanitary habits, sexual deviants, homosexuals, debts, failure to pay debts. And that spy system goes back to 1947, whether they received anti-war literature in the mail, just as in 1940, Franklin Roosevelt was working with J. Edgar Hoover to open telegrams and list people who were antagonistic to the pro-Hitler statement of Charles Lindbergh, who was working with Goebbels and Goering up to and through the war and had Nazi feelings after the war. He wrote that by Hitler losing the war, the Western world lost thousands of years of mongrelization of the races. So the loyalty, the subversion, went out to public utilities and public corporations. So if you wonder why they're all white and sanitized and very sterile and clean, your corporation heads, this is part of the reason why people are excluded. It began in 1947. In 1947 began Operation Chatter. That was the Pentagon beginning their drug testing. The excuse was to find out how much people can talk under pressure. Of course, it meant more because after World War II, many people would want a better world and want to begin to change the world. So it was very important to have the medications and the drugs and the assassination team set up to kill any leaders and to check their minds and have a control, a handle on their minds. Getting back to the first tape, the discoveries of Freud and Jung were to be used against the people and elicit information from them and find out who the cause or the main part of the organizing of each labor or radical who was played as the black, the Indians, the farm workers, and then it goes into the student union protest, the anti-war protesters, the lesbians, the gays. They had them all tagged, and this method of making people talk was beginning to be perfected in 47 so that they could put a tag on the leaders. 1947 was the year of Project Shamrock. That's the global communication system that was set up by Harry Truman and his advisors. Firms such as RCA, ITT, World Communications, Western Union International, and so forth, began clandestine use of telegrams, and they targeted various people for investigation by the U.S. intelligence system. That was set up by the National Security Agency, Operation Shamrock, and that's when our privacy really ended. In 1934, they were violating the Communications Act and the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. The project allegedly was halted in 1975, but I doubt if they would give up anything that good. In 1947, Richard Nixon was a member of the House Un-American Activity. He was elected to the House of Representatives. And he also had bailed out Jack Ruby that year, who was in a jam. And Jack Ruby was working for Richard Nixon in terms of some testimony in Chicago, and he had bailed him out. Later, when Jack Ruby wiped out Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas, Texas, and erased the conspiratorial links to the assassination of John Kennedy, then Richard Nixon was able to become president of the United States with the Kennedys, two Kennedys out of the way. In 1947, in Paraguay, General Alfred Stroessner, with his German background, formed a state of siege, a dictatorship in Paraguay. General Somoza is living with him at the present time. After he was kicked out of Nicaragua, Somoza moved down to Paraguay. In 1947, L. Patrick Gray was at Annapolis. He graduated from Annapolis and went on to work for the National Security Council and for Richard Nixon, and was acting director of the FBI at the time of Watergate and Deep Six, important information that would have linked the Nixon-Watergate era to the Kennedy assassination. In the same class was Stansfield Turner, who went on to become head of the Central Intelligence Agency. Turner was appointed by another classmate, Jimmy Carter. The three of them were at Annapolis, 1947. L. Patrick Gray, Stansfield Turner, and Jimmy Carter, all concealing the assassinations and conspiracies and covering for each other. The Soviet Union exploded their first atomic bomb in that year, and important events around the world were taking place. Also, Gerald Ford was sent to the House of Representatives the same time that Richard Nixon was sent, one from Michigan, one from California, and they would have a very close relationship through the years, first with Richard Nixon appointing Gerald Ford to the Warren Commission to cover up the links of the murder of John Kennedy, and later Richard Nixon appointing Gerald Ford to become President of the United States to cover up Nixon's links in the Watergate going back to the Kennedy assassination. The Red Scare escalated as soon as people like Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford were in the House of Representatives. Those were important elections in 46. And Alger Hiss was framed by Whitaker Chambers, and they tried to link it to a communist link. That was the year of the famous Pumpkin Papers, a Henry Luce invention. 1947 was the first discussion, or one of the first in this country, about the UFO and those mysterious men in black. It involved Fred Chrisman, a gentleman from the Central Intelligence Agency who was also filmed at Dealey Plaza when Kennedy was killed. He was a CIA employee. He worked with Clay Shaw in the Nazi connections in the trademark in New Orleans. He was a friend of Clay Shaw's, and he was linking the UFOs to these men in black very early. He was one of the first men to talk about it. And since then, there's been a lot of discussion of those UFOs actually being Nazi invented weapons that are coming out of Antarctica and the South Pole. In 1947, the government started breaking your character record down into codes. Whether veterans were loyal or disloyal or subversive, whether they got anti-war literature in the mail, they separated them into various departments. Their habits, their sex habits, their debts, failure to pay debts, and they were labeled. This classifying was called the SPN, Separation Program Number. There were codings, 530 grades that you gave, and then these facts could be put on file and sent out to corporations and public utilities and go into the Mormon data banks or the caves in Utah and be salted away for intertel or other political purposes later. Everybody was tagged. 1947 was really the escalation of the Cold War strategy. The CIA began to build up the docks in Marseille that were notorious for narcotics traffic. They began to unload cargo in France. It was part of what was to be the Marshall Plan to build up Europe, and we gave over $250 million towards international affairs. It came from major private institutions in this country and from the government, and our connections to the Marseille narcotics flow and Interpol that moved from Vienna to France later became part and parcel of the Nazi drug connections. It does very little to find criminals, but it's for narcotics traffic. On June 18, 1948, was started the Office of Special Projects. That's when the Cold War between the United States and Russia really got going. The National Security Council took covert activity against the Soviet Union, and the excuse was the international interest of world peace and national security, and the government must go into covert operations. In 1947 was Operation Chatter. That was the program to keep agents from talking or giving information away. 1948, Israel became a country, and in May of 48, and within a few months, the top leading Nazis, 50 of the major war criminals from Latin and South America, were sent to Egypt to Mr. Nasser to begin the project of dissolving Israel, which is taking place right now in front of our eyes. In 1948, Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. There were other assassination attempts on Walter Reuther. One of them took place later. Operation Ohio was a CIA program responsible for 100 European assassinations through the next 10 years. It came out of Columbus, Ohio, and was linked to Permandex and a Division 5 of the FBI, described in the Torbett document. Starting in 1948, after World War II, the Nazis came to this country. Campuses, institutions, State Department, Central Intelligence Agency, to make and pattern the United States government similar to Nazi Germany. My time is out on this tape. I'll continue with the chronology in a few more weeks. I'll take a break to update the news and then get back to the chronology.